Next on RadioSt.Pete.com, Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field.
Welcome back to another episode of Peter's Proffer. And we are not in the courtroom of current events again. We are outside my house in our Corona recording studio with the quarantine time. My dad is actually here at my house, so he'll be on his own mic. And we are going to have a special guest on the phone, and that's Paul Bedinghouse. He's a CPA that's been practicing for over 25 years here in Clearwater. He opened up his own firm in 1992, and he specializes in advising small businesses. So we are going to go through the Paycheck Protection Program, which is a small business loan opportunity that's been put into place because of the coronavirus, because of the economy or the economic issues that are happening because of the coronavirus. So we're going to dig into it, talk about what it covers, how long it covers it for, how it may apply to you, whether you're an employee or an employer. So it's going to be an interesting podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. And if there are any other topics you want to hear regarding any of the corona laws or things going on with the quarantine, with the stay-at-home orders, make sure you hit us up on all social media at Tragos Law is our handle. Or if you have any specific questions for you or your business, you can send me an email, petertragos@greeklaw.com.
On that midnight train.
All right, Paul, thanks so much for being with us today. As we get started, can you just give us a brief overview of what the Paycheck Protection Program is and why it's come into place now?
Yes, thank you. The law is designed to help small businesses keep people employed for several weeks, 8 weeks after they get the loan. And it is designed to reimburse mostly businesses to keep mostly to go towards payroll, although it can be used for other purposes to some extent.
Okay, and who qualifies for the plan?
Any U.S.-based small business under 500 employees per location, by the way. So if you're a franchisee, you could have several locations and in total have more than 500 employees, but at any one location, as long as you're under 500, you would qualify for this program. So you must be a U.S. Based business. You must have U.S. ownership, and it applies to employees who are U.S. residents.
Okay, what about sole proprietors or independent contractors, people that are kind of smaller than small businesses?
They are also included in this program. You do not have to be a corporation. You could be an Uber driver. You could be self-employed. You could be a person that receives a 1099, and you could qualify for a paycheck protection loan.
Paul, nonprofits are included too, aren't they?
They are included. 501c3s are specifically mentioned as of 501c19s. Tribal businesses. Or any other legal business with there's a few exceptions specifically mentioned. Basically, household employees are not included in this. Anybody who is in an illicit business, if you will, are not included.
Okay. So what exactly can the money that someone gets from a loan like this be used for? You said payroll, but is there other things?
Yeah, it can be used for payroll, and that's maybe a little bit broader even than we might expect. Payroll includes gross payroll for anybody up to $100,000 annual compensation. So it includes gross payroll, it includes healthcare benefits, it includes state and local payroll taxes. And it includes retirement plan contributions that the company makes towards the employee's compensation. The loan can be used for those purposes, but also it can be used for rent. It can be used for utilities. It can be used to pay interest on business loans that were in existence prior to this, and it can be used for interest on mortgages that the business has.
So when you say $100,000 annual compensation, do you mean per employee? So each employee up to $100,000 worth of salary, they can get that paid for this loan?
Yeah, let's talk about the calculation. So the loan is based on a multiple of the average monthly payroll cost. So if your average monthly payroll cost is $50,000 for, let's say, the year 2019, which is a year that you can use, if it's $50,000, you can get a loan of 2.5 times that amount, or $125,000.
Okay. And that's including all the other stuff you're talking about, too, the payroll taxes, the benefits that you give employees, mortgage, stuff like that, or is it just based on the payroll cost?
Right. So payroll cost is defined as all those things that I had mentioned.
So the mortgage is included in payroll costs?
Not mortgage, just okay. Gross payroll, retirement benefits, health benefits, and state and local taxes. That's your payroll cost.
So how does rent come into that calculation, or does it not?
Rent is not in the calculation, but it is allowed, the proceeds are allowed to be used for rent.
Paul, one of the things, we're in Florida, and you've got a lot of people that work for tips. How are tips brought into the calculation?
Tips are includable in this calculation. So wages, tips, any other compensation is part of that calculation.
What about sick leave or vacation time?
Sick leave and vacation is also included. Vacation, sick leave, wages, tips, is all included.
What?
Now, one caveat I had there, the U.S. Small Business Administration just issued regulations on April 3rd, evening April 3rd, and they want businesses to use these proceeds 75% for these payroll costs, and only 25% is expected to be used for the other purposes.
Okay, what about if the owner of a small business, I guess, and this may fall into the sole proprietorship, but let's say an owner of a small business has 10 employees, but he also takes a salary, can he get reimbursed his own salary as the owner?
The owners can. They are included up to $100,000. So what you would do is you would figure your average monthly payroll cost, excluding your own pay. Now, as a sole proprietor, you're not just supposed to take a wage. You're just supposed to take the profit.
Right.
So you shouldn't be on payroll. So you figure your average monthly payroll cost for your employees, and then you add up to $8,333.33 for yourself. That would be the maximum if you were at $100,000 or more of earnings, net earnings from your business.
Okay.
So $100,000 divided by 12 is $8,333.33.
Right, and you multiply that by 2.5.
That's correct. Add that to your other monthly costs and multiply that total by 2.5.
So what is the interest rate for this loan?
Well, the interest, this is the phenomenal part. This loan, if you use it 100% for the prescribed purposes during the 8-week period after the loan is given, then the loan is forgiven 100%.
So you don't have to pay it back?
You do not have to pay it back, and it is tax-free. Loan forgiveness that is tax-free. It's fantastic.
Is that common? Is that a common thing that happens?
That never happens.
Right.
So this is hopefully a once-in-a-lifetime situation, and very unusual, because usually loan forgiveness of any kind, with certain special exceptions in recent years, like your house, debt forgiveness is includable in income. This debt forgiveness will not be includable in income.
Paul, I think people need to realize that they're actually borrowing money from like a bank, and isn't the government just guaranteeing the loan?
Yes, the government is guaranteeing 100% to the banks. And let's talk about the terms of the loan if we can. The loan terms are, there is no recourse against you for not paying this loan back. There's no recourse. There's no personal guarantee. So these loans are designed to basically be a giveaway. And I've never seen in 28 years of business anything like this.
And if you don't, let's say you don't use it for what you're supposed to use it for, you use it for something else, then you just have to pay the money back?
Yes, if you don't, to the extent it is not used for the prescribed purposes, then it becomes a permanent loan payable over 2 years at 1%.
Okay. What happens if in the middle of this process you get the loan, you used to have 10 employees, but you had to lay off 2 employees? How does that affect the loan amount or what you have to pay back or anything like that?
Well, that's a great question. So this provision, you can hire people back that you laid off and still get loan forgiveness under this program. The amount of loan forgiveness is based on a formula, a ratio of the number of employees that you have during the 8-week period after you obtained the loan.
Oh, okay.
Compared to prior periods that are prescribed in the regulations. If that ratio is 1-to-1, you get 100% forgiveness. If it's less than 1-to-1, then you're going to get a partial forgiveness.
So when you once you know you're going to get the loan and you're going to have that money in your bank account, then you can go back to people that you may have already laid off because of lack of profits, and you can bring them back and pay them with the loan money.
That's absolutely correct.
What if you hire new people? If you hire new, let's say you don't rehire the laid off person, but you hire a new person.
You can. The regulations do not require that you rehire the people that you employed before. It is based on the number of full-time equivalents, and it is based on salary dollars or wage dollars.
Okay, and what's the application process like? Where are you actually applying for this loan? What do you have to do to get it?
So I would recommend that you start with the bank that you have a banking relationship with, because most of these banks, and that is how you get the loan, is through a bank. That is an SBA lender. If your bank is not an SBA lender, then find one that is, and it would be to your best interest to find a preferred SBA lender, because those banks do not have to get approval for your loan at the SBA. They can approve it locally. So you go to your bank that's a SBA lender, and they, on their website, they will have a place to apply for these payroll protection loans, and they will ask you to have certain documents. You will have to have the loan calculation done before you do this, and you probably will have to have some documents that they require sometime after you apply for the loan.
You know, I'm hearing that this isn't as standard as it should be, that different banks are doing it different ways. Bank of America, for instance, was able to successfully do it Friday, whereas Chase Bank still hasn't been successful.
Well, that's true, George. A lot of banks still are not ready, and they're taking, but you can go online and register as an interested person, and then they'll contact you later. The problem is that many banks require you to log in with your established credentials. Of course, you have to be a client already to do that. So if you're not a client with some of these banks already, you may not be able to apply for a loan with that bank unless you establish your relationship.
Another thing is that the application itself has some yes and no questions on it.
Yes.
And one of those deals with, are you under indictment or have you been arrested? Does that disqualify you from the loan?
There are several questions, about 8 questions on that application, and a few of them will disqualify you specifically. For example, one of those is that if you as the applicant, in other words, the business, or any owner of the applicant ever obtained an SBA loan before and is currently delinquent, or if you have defaulted on the loan in the last 7 years and caused a loss to the government, you will not get this loan. If you have been suspended, debarred, proposed for debarment, declared ineligible from participation by any federal department or agency, or presently if you are involved in bankruptcy, you will not get this loan.
What about the arrest question?
Okay, within the last 5 years, any felony that the applicant had or any owner of the applicant been convicted or pleaded guilty or pleaded no contest, been placed on trial diversion, been placed on any form of parole or probation, you will not likely get this loan.
All right, and that's the standard language that's in lots of different documents. So, and we've got
those are part of several questions that are on the loan application, which, by the way, the application is pretty simple. It's pretty easy to do yourself. The only problem some people have is calculating the average monthly payroll amount. And this is important that you consult with your accountant or financial advisor on this, because just this morning I had a client that was doing it themselves because they had a banking relationship and they wanted to check it with me. I found that they had calculated about a loan amount that was equal to about half of what they could have gotten. So just by that talk with me, they doubled their loan amount, which, again, remember, is forgivable and tax-free. So be sure you talk to somebody, run it by a professional, preferably your CPA, before you submit this, because you could be leaving tax-free money on the table.
Right, and that's why we're talking to you now, so people can understand the importance of talking to somebody that actually knows how to navigate these waters. When are the loans actually available? When did this start?
People were able to start applying last Friday, April 4th, depending on when your bank was ready. Some were not ready until early the afternoon on the 4th. I know several banks are backed up and have stopped processing applications until they can process the batch that they have already.
Is there a limit to the amount of money you can get for this loan?
$10 million.
Oh, that's it?
Now, Congress allocated approximately $350 billion to this loan program. It's based on a first-come, first-serve. So it's important that people submit these loan applications as soon as possible. I did see a comment from the American Institute of CPAs that the Trump administration said that they would work with Congress to obtain more funds. However, we all know how that political process works, and there's no guarantee of that.
Well, I saw a comment that this money would run out on the 30th of May under the current, you know, the way the current processing is going.
Yeah, you have to. That is the deadline for submitting your application.
So what about, is there a limit to the amount of loans you can get under this program? Like, not the amount, not the dollar amounts, $10 million, but can you get 5 or 6 or 7 of these loans?
I think you get one shot at this, Peter, and I haven't seen anything that would allow you to make multiple submissions, so you want to make sure that that loan amount is right.
Well, there's other loans you can apply for, too, under the program, but you can only apply for one. You have to pick which one you're going to apply for.
There are other loans. This PPP loan is very specific, and I would tell people to prioritize this because it is, you know, so very generous. Now, there are other loan programs. For example, earlier in the year, several weeks ago, there was the $50,000 loan program through the state of Florida through the SBA. That was not a freebie. It was a true loan, but it was an emergency loan. I know they are busy processing those applications. there is another pretty generous SBA loan under the emergency loan program. If you go to the SBA website and look at ELID, E-L-I-D, loan, that is an emergency loan program that you can get, I believe it's up to $2 million. That is at a rate of 3.75%, and it's either for 10 or 20 years. So not a bad program there as well. And as part of that program, you can get a, within 3 days of approval, you can get a $10,000 grant sent to you as part of that program. Or you can just apply for the $10,000 grant. Now, however, that I believe that $10,000 grant would reduce any benefits under the PPP loan program. That is loan forgiveness.
What about if you're a business that uses mainly independent contractors, 1099 workers? Would you apply for the loan as the business owner, or would those individual 1099, I guess, sole proprietors apply for the loan to get reimbursed what they usually get paid on a monthly basis?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. There has been confusion on that. SBA issued regulations April 3rd, specifically excluding independent contractors from the calculation for the applicant. So as if you were a business owner and you were the only true employee, then it would be based on just yourself, not the independent contractors. Reason being because those independent contractors can seek their own PPP loan.
Right, and that kind of makes sense to me. So you talked before about consulting with the CPA or financial planner or somebody before you actually submit this, since you get one shot at it and you want to make sure you calculate it correctly. Is there anything in the documents or in the application that you can apply for fees for an accountant or something, somebody that you have to hire to consult to talk about getting this loan?
Well, you can have somebody help you with this. You have to find a bank that'll work with you in that regard. But there is a provision if somebody acts as your agent, and that could be an attorney, it could be an accountant. There's a few individuals that can do that for you. You wouldn't have to pay that professional anything. The SBA would pay out of the fees that it's paying the bank. Now, some of the banks are not really cooperating with that part of it, so you have to find a bank that will work with your agent. We have been doing both for helping clients, and we get paid through the SBA fees that they pay the lender, or we just simply charge a minimal amount of time to help with the calculation. And for our clients, we're providing documents free of any charge.
What about withholding and payroll taxes? How's that figured in?
That's included in the rate and the gross payroll amount. Anything from the employee side is included in gross payroll, and that is included in the average monthly payroll calculation. The employer side, however, and this again has been a point of confusion, the employer payroll taxes are not included in this calculation.
Okay. Now, is this kind of a changing landscape? Do you have regulations coming out every day, or do you have to, you know, are there issues that come up that have to be adjusted in these applications?
It certainly is changing a lot. There was the initial law that came out and interpretations there. There was some clarity when the SBA came out with their regulations on Thursday night, April 3rd. And then just over the weekend, we accountants got some clarity from our American Institute of CPAs on how to calculate the loan amount. So things are definitely changing every day. The banks are changing every day, seemingly. The application process and what documents are required, what period of time this loan is to be calculated, the basis for that calculation.
So it covers you for 8 weeks as a small business. Let's say you get the loan, covers you for 8 weeks. What if this is still going on and we're still in this quarantine climate 8 weeks from now? Is it going to have to be a different program, or can you reapply for this loan? What happens after you exhaust the loan?
That's a great question. it's undetermined at this time. Congress hasn't addressed that. We expect that they will address it at some point, but there's no provision beyond what we have today.
I guess it's a wait and see approach. Hopefully it'll be over in 8 weeks, but if not, then I guess we'll reconvene at that time.
Right. Now, if I may, there's a couple of things that came out from the SBA guidelines I want people to, it's very important. These, in order to get the loan forgiveness, you're going to have to prove to the bank that you use these loan proceeds for the prescribed purposes. So you're going to need to be very careful with your documentation of the usage of these funds. Some banks might ask you to actually use a separate bank account, which isn't a bad idea for
control. Yeah, that's something that is that something you'd advise to do, even if the bank doesn't ask you to?
I would for most people. I'm taking it on a case-by-case basis. It really depends on the client and how organized they are. But the bank may actually ask you to do that, or at least because it's important to please the bank, because the bank is the one that's going to say whether or not and to what degree
it's forgivable.
This loan forgiveness.
Right. What else? Anything else come out this weekend that's important?
Yes, as I mentioned, basically, they're looking for you not to use to use these funds not more than 25% for other purposes, 75% for these payroll costs. If you go outside those guidelines, you are risking not being approved for the loan forgiveness. And also, a little nasty note from the SBA, they warned that if you use these loan proceeds for unauthorized purposes, they may consider it fraud and come after you for prosecution.
Yeah, I'm sure they're expecting some of that. I mean, it even to me, when you say the calculation is 2.5 times your payroll cost, but then at the same time they say you can use 25% of it for non-payroll costs, it seems to me if you do the payroll costs correctly, you'd use 100% of it for the payroll costs if you did the calculation right. So they're building in some, you know, fudging almost, it seems like, the 25% barrier. But if you go over that, then they might look at it as fraud or whatever.
Yes.
Anything else before we close it out?
That's all. If anybody wanted us to help them with this, they can go to my website, which is theflcpa.com, theflcpa.com, and fill out a inquiry form, and we'll get that, and we're helping people as quickly as we can.
So you have like a contact us form on the site that goes directly to your email or somebody's email in your office?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah, and Paul's been a huge help to us. That's why we wanted to have him on. He explained it to us step by step. We're going through it with our law firm, and you know, any business that may think they need it, definitely reach out to Paul. He can answer all your questions for you. He can give you what you need to at least point you in the right direction. And Paul, thanks so much again for coming on and doing this with us.
Yep, they can also find me on LinkedIn, Paul Bettinghaus on LinkedIn.
All right, thanks so much, man. So that'll do it for our podcast with Paul. Seriously, reach out to him. He's awesome. He'll answer all your questions. He'll give you everything you need. And we'll be back with you guys next time.
On that midnight train.
You've been listening to Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tracos. The experienced lawyers at Tracos, Sartes, and Tracos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field. Find out more at tragoslaw.com.